Welcome to episode 909 of the 1010 Thrive podcast.
In the rugged wilderness of Judea, where the relentless sun beat down upon the rocky terrain, and the air is perfumed with the scent of wild herbs, a solitary figure emerges, capturing the attention of all who dare to inhabit this harsh, unforgiving landscape. His name is John, later known as the Baptist, a man marked by an unusual life from the very beginning. His clothes are as coarse as the landscape around him, made from camel's hair, bound with a leather belt, while his diet is of locusts and wild honey, the sustenance of the wilderness itself. John's voice, a clarion call in the wilderness, echoes against the stark hills, compelling an array of people from every corner of Judea and the bustling streets of Jerusalem to seek him out. His message is both a comfort and a confrontation.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
This is not merely an invitation, but an urgent command, reflecting the fervency of his belief and the critical nature of the times. As individuals from various walks of life gather, they find themselves drawn into the cool, flowing waters of the Jordan River. Here, John baptizes them, not with the gentle sprinklings of a priest in a temple, but with the full, immersive plunge of a prophet in the wild, each baptism a vivid symbol of cleansing and rebirth. The water, cold and refreshing, is a stark contrast to the dry air and serves as a physical and spiritual awakening for those who enter it. Amidst this backdrop of elemental rawness, John speaks of one who will come after him, one who is mightier than he, whose sandals he is not worthy to stoop down and untie. This mysterious figure will not baptize with water, as John does, but with the Holy Spirit. The mention of the Holy Spirit stirs a sense of awe and wonder among the crowd. It hints at a power greater than the tangible elements of water, wind, or earth. Power divine and transformative. John's proclamation carries a weight that resonates deeply within the hearts of his listeners. It is a foreshadowing filled with promise and foreboding, heralding the arrival of someone extraordinary who will not only challenge the status quo, but redefine the very essence of their faith and existence.
Yes, High Priest, what is it? Your Excellency, there is a matter of some urgency that I believe requires your attention. It concerns the one called the Baptist.
Ah, the wild preacher from Judea? Yes, he has been quite the topic of conversation at court lately. What of him?
It seems, my lord, that his influence grows by the day. The people flock to him in the wilderness, and there are whispers everywhere. Whispers that paint him as a prophet, perhaps even the Elijah who is to come before the Messiah.
A prophet, you say? And what exactly is he prophesying? Rebellion against Rome? Against my rule?
Not directly, no. His message is one of repentance, of turning away from sin. But he speaks against the scribes and Pharisees, against those in authority.
Perish the thought. And the people? Do they listen to him?
They do, Your Excellency. Many regard him as a true voice of God. His ability to sway the masses should not be underestimated. They believe him, follow him, and his words carry far.
This is troublesome, Caiaphas. A man who commands such devotion could indeed be dangerous. What do you suggest?
Caution, my lord. It may be wise to monitor this John closely, perhaps even detain him, to quell his influence before it challenges the stability of your reign or provokes the Romans.
A fine thought. Why don't you continue to keep your eye on him and report back to me if there are any new, disconcerting developments?
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Come forth and be baptized, washing away the sins of the world, preparing yourselves for the one who is to come, mightier than I.
As John is preaching, Jesus approaches the edge of the river. Jesus has traveled for several days southeast from Nazareth, through the region of Samaria, and then continuing into Judea, reaches the area around the Jordan River at midday.
My lord, what brings you here?
I come to be baptized.
It is I who need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?
Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.
John hesitates for a moment, not sure how to proceed. Then he sighs.
As you wish.
As Jesus is coming up out of the water, he sees heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove.
You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
The sun hangs low in the vast, unending expanse of the wilderness, its golden rays illuminating the rugged landscape that stretches out in all directions. A hot wind stirs the sparse vegetation and kicks up swirls of dust. The usual silence of the desert is broken by the sounds of a royal entourage. The steady clip-clop of horses, the soft murmur of attendants, and the occasional clink of armor from the soldiers who flank the procession. Herod Antipas, Tetrarch of Galilee, and his wife Herodias ride in a lavishly adorned carriage, part of a larger expedition aimed to inspect the regions near the Jordan River. As the royal party slows near the riverbanks, where the wilderness meets the water, they encounter a crowd gathered around a solitary figure dressed in camel's hair, his voice booming over the crowd.
Is that him? Is that the Baptist? He certainly commands attention.
Yes, that's him. The one who has been causing unrest.
I wish to hear this prophet speak.
Herod and Herodias, accompanied by a few guards, step out of the carriage and approach John the Baptist, who continues his preaching undeterred by the new arrivals.
People of Israel, look who we have here. Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Repent of this sin.
John, you are a prophet, so they say. Why concern yourself with the matters of my household? Is it not enough for you to baptize and preach? Leave matters of state and my personal life out of your prophecies.
My duty is to speak God's truth, Herod. It matters not whether one is a pauper or a prince. All are called to repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and you, above all, as a leader, must show righteousness before God and man.
See how he shames you in front of these people. This cannot stand.
Herod Antipas's sin is that he has unlawfully taken his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, as his own. John publicly rebukes Herod for this, saying it is not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. This act of marrying Herodias, while Philip is still alive, is considered adulterous and incestuous, according to Mosaic law. For the moment, the Tetrarch ignores the accusation.
And what of this kingdom of heaven? Tell us, prophet, what must one do to inherit such a kingdom?
It begins with repentance and baptism, a symbolic cleansing of one's sins, but also a commitment to walk anew. It's not just water that will save you, Herod, but a transformed heart, a life lived in accordance with God's commandments.
And if I choose to listen to your words, what then? Will your God grant a tetrarch peace?
Peace comes not from power or position, but from walking rightly with God. Even now, it's not too late for you, Herod. Turn from your sins and seek God's mercy.
I like you, John. I appreciate your audacity. I will let you carry on with your preaching, but do not misunderstand my graciousness for weakness. Guards, let us return to the carriage.
You are letting him get away with it.
He's harmless. Don't let him get to you.
But Herodias will not let this go. And eventually, upon her insistence, Herod Antipas has the Baptist detained. He is imprisoned at the fortress of Machaerus, located on the eastern side of the Dead Sea. To be continued.